Blog Talk Radio. Program coming to you here this evening just to talk Major League Baseball. That's what we do here on Tuesday night. And momentarily here, I'm going to be joined by our usual panel of folks. We'll get around to all of them in a couple of moments. I see we're having some issues getting everybody on the line there, but that's fine. We'll get it all worked out here in a moment. Anyhow, we're going to be talking baseball here for, I guess, about the next hour or so. So what we would like to do is get as many of you. No guests this evening. I tried to get somebody in to join us tonight. Must have been a popular night, though, for everybody out doing other things or covering live baseball. I tried to get a couple of folks to jump in with us, but not a good night as it's turning out here on the 2nd of June. But not a problem. That only gives all of you folks that are out there listening a much greater opportunity to jump in here and join us. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for your input here on the Fred House Sports' Cleanup Hitters program. Well, you can do that, jump in with us by the phone, landline, cell phone, 347-826-9964. 347-826-9964. If you're listening via a computer and you are Skype capable, just hit the little blue Skype button next to our phone number, and that'll put you through to us loud and clear. Chat room I've got open, and we have a little bit of activity in there. Otherwise, if you'd like, you can hit me up over on Twitter, at Frat House Mike. All these different ways to get a hold of us here at Frat House Sports, certainly. Please do me a favor and take advantage of one of those. This week, we are joined by Nick. Nick, how we doing tonight?
Doing good, Chris. How are you?
Up, 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 up. You okay there? You're breaking up a little bit. Just check your mic connection, perhaps. And Caleb, coming to us from Tennessee. You're heading down to Atlanta, you said, huh?
I am, yep. Yep. Friday night. So I'm excited for the Bucks. I'm ready to see them. First time of the season for me to see them. Not the last, though, thank goodness. So I'm excited.
Is this your first time to Atlanta?
No, this would be my fourth time to Atlanta to see them.
Okay. All right. So that's a ballpark you're somewhat familiar with. Now, what are you going to – what game will you be seeing? Friday night, or are you going to try to take it
Friday
a couple
night.
Of – Friday night. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Only that game. So.
And you'll be seeing well, now you said this won't be the only time. When else will you get a chance to see the Pirates?
I will get to go see them in Pittsburgh over July 4th. I believe it's July the 3rd against the Cleveland Indians.
Oh, nice, nice. You got the do they do a fireworks? I guess they do a fireworks game, don't they?
Yeah, it'll actually be a free shirt Friday. And I believe after the game, they do fireworks as well.
Very
because
nice.
Of that entire weekend there. So it'll
very
be a
good.
Packed house.
Very, very good. I have not gotten to a game myself this season yet. Nick, how about you? Have you gotten to any regular season games? I know you did some preseason stuff.
Yeah, no, I went to the spring training games. I haven't been to a regular season game yet. Planning on it.
Yeah, I haven't gotten down to in fact, I got to be honest, I haven't been to a Phils game in actually a couple of seasons now. I'm trying to think the last game I actually went to. It might have been an Orioles game, actually. It might have been the last game that I went to a couple of years ago. But, boy, Philadelphia Phils are a little difficult to watch. But, you know, if you pick a good tonight would not be a good night. It is like 55 degrees. It's raining. It's drizzling. There is a game going on, apparently, this evening. You know, when you got a team playing as poorly as the Philadelphia Phils, the only way you could possibly enjoy them would be to enjoy everything else that goes with it. You know what I mean? You'd have to go down on a nice, beautiful, warm day and just go in to soak up the sun and, you know, a couple of cold ones and some good food. And that's about the only, I mean, really, because I can't imagine going down there and trying to watch a game tonight down there. Mm-mm-mm. Anyhow. And they're opening up a series, I believe, against the Cincinnati Reds tonight. All right, well, anyhow, let's get around and take a look at a few things. As we are apt to do, we love to just waste the first 5 or 10 minutes of the show or so talking about something completely ridiculous and useless like the power rankings. And what we saw this past week in the power rankings, big surge apparently up for the Cleveland Indians. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Wow, the biggest mover was the Cleveland Indians. They moved a whopping 4 spots to number 17. Biggest mover up. Biggest mover down, apparently. The Boston Red Sox dropped 8 spots to 24th. We can talk all we want about those things, but I think the amazing story right now, I guess at least for the past couple of weeks, has got to be the Minnesota Twins. Wow! Where in the world did this team come from all of a sudden? And this doesn't look to be they're just having a nice little trend right now. This has been going on now for about 2 weeks, and now you've got Minnesota leading the AL Central. A half game going into tonight, half game over the Kansas City Royals. I talked about this Central team, I guess it was just last week. When you take a look up and down that AL Central, got to be one of the more compelling divisions to look at, because when you take a look at a team like the Cleveland Indians, who are 6.5 games out of first place in the AL Central, they are nonetheless only 3 games out of the wild card. So you've got 4 teams right now in the AL Central that are really, really, I guess, well, they're certainly interesting to watch. That's for sure. Certainly interesting to see what's going on there. But I got to say, I think the Minnesota Twins have to be, they have to get my kudos of the week. What else? Anybody else? What do you think on who gets the kudos of the week in Nick's department? Nick? All right. Caleb?
Well, I would agree with that. And I would just like to say, kind of being a homer here, but hey, the Pirates, they jumped up 3 spots to number 9. Just
okay.
Saying.
Yep.
But I would definitely say the overall winner here, even though there really isn't one because this is all kind of subjective, but hey, whatever. But definitely Minnesota, just because they've made a surge. They have. They've played really well. May has been fantastic, and I want to say that I heard that was their best month in over like 15 years or something. The month
wow.
of May, I want to say, or it was up there. That's amazing right there. And they're playing really, really well. So,
and what's really hysterical is that I guess it was, I'm trying to even remember what show it was. It wasn't that long ago. I had Brandon Warren on the line from out there in, I guess it was somewhere around the Twin Cities out there. It's got to be maybe 5 weeks ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, right here on this show. I forget who was on with me, but we had Brandon Warren on. I'm talking to him. I'm going, boy, this has got to be a little bit tough, huh? You know, watch these Twins team, you know, and yeah, he's going on. You know, he's kind of like actually affirming, well, yeah, the team's not probably going to be too good. And Boy, oh boy, I actually tried to reach back out to Brandon this week to see whether we could get him back on just for the fun of it, because it wasn't that long ago we had him on, and he was...
I remember
actually,
that.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you were on with him.
Yep, I was.
But, you know, I'm trying to get a handle for what's going on with this team. But they're 30-19, and like I said, this isn't a situation, I think, right now where, you know, you would have to look at it and say, oh, it's dead. They're just getting lucky. Oh, it's just part of the schedule. Because we've been seeing, as you pointed out, Caleb, they had a tremendous entire month. You know, this hasn't been something that's been only coming on for like the past, say, 7, 8, 9 days. They had a tremendous month of May. So there obviously, evidently, is something to it. So we'll keep our eye on that AL Central. That, I think, is the division to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
Excuse me. The AL West, one could argue, might be one to keep an eye on as well. Because while you've got the Houston Astros up there, obviously, at the top, now 4 games over the LA Angels. When you take a look at the other teams that are still competing in there, you got Houston, LA, the Angels, you got Texas Rangers, you got Seattle Mariners. Looking down that wild card column, well, the Seattle Mariners, who are right now fourth in the AL West, are only 3.5 games out of the wild card as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be another, I think, division to keep our eye on. Those two in particular. Very,
definitely,
very interesting situation. The way
and the Rangers. And the Rangers are coming. They're hot. They are really playing really, really good baseball. And they just got Hamilton back. I mean, now, whether that has anything to actually kind of do with their success, not sure. But he did have a fantastic weekend. Couple home runs on, I believe, Saturday. And he had a walk-off on Sunday. So he's right back at it where he left off in Texas. So we'll see how that all shakes out. But those are two interesting divisions there for sure.
Yeah, and I was just taking a look at, on this power rankings that we use here from USA Today, Texas Rangers jumped 3 spots to 15. So they're right mid-pack at this point with a 26-25 record. But they're moving, as you're saying, they're moving in the right direction. Perhaps maybe getting Hamilton back to form might be of some help. Prince Fielder in the month of May hit .381, 9 home runs and 28 RBIs just for Prince Fielder in the month of May. So, this is a interesting situation as well. All right, I know that we lost Nick. We're gonna try to get him back in here. If not, we may have to just get him on the telephone, because evidently he was having some trouble, and then of course he dropped off. Let me just put this note over to him real quick. Anyhow, why don't we do this, Caleb? I meant to do it when we first got you on. I believe you probably have your sports machine going over there, do you?
I actually do not.
Tonight, through the use of the sports machine.
Oh, jeez.
I actually don't. The one time that I'm actually needed, I don't have it. What's wrong with me?
No, that's all right.
But I do have it right here on my phone, though. I can check it really fast here. So.
Oh, okay. So
I have it all up. So.
Caleb has multiple sports machines, so we we will be able to.
Tonight, through the use of the sports machine.
There we go. We will be able to get to it. So. What do we got going on, Caleb?
Well, it looks like the Reds are up 1-0 already on the Phillies. Sorry to mention that.
That's all right.
Bummer. But looks like everyone else is still scoreless. So we got Toronto at Washington. Oakland at Detroit, and Minnesota at Boston there, and they're all still scoreless.
Okay, there you go. There's our update on what is happening live. And I'm having a little trouble with my computer now. Hold on here a second. There we go. But, okay, hopefully we're going to be able to get Nick in here, and he will be able to join us. He said he's going to give Skype one more shot at it, and then perhaps maybe if that doesn't work, what we will do is see if we can get him on with us, perhaps maybe right on the telephone line, because that would work. We could do that as well.
Yep.
excuse me. Bad allergy today with the temperatures dropping back down again. Let me do this. Reminder to everybody, please, if you want to jump in, have anything on your mind with regard to Major League Baseball, please don't hesitate. 347-826-9964. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us, or jump in the chat room, or give us a hit me up over on Twitter, at Frat House Mike. All right, I believe that we have Nick with us. Nick, are you on the line with us?
I am indeed.
All right. All right, very good. Let's get into our first story here I just came across this one. I guess it was yesterday. Well, of course, it would have been the day after. I was a little bit surprised at this one because, you know, we talk about technology and we talk about how nothing can get by anybody anymore. You know, everything's on camera. You know, we've got instant replay now that we're instituting for everything, it seems like, nowadays. In a game against, it was the Cincinnati Reds and the Washington Nationals on Sunday, Joey Votto is up to bat. And, somewhere along the line, they missed a ball count, and Joey Votto was awarded first base on a three-ball walk. Three-ball walk. Apparently, somewhere along the line, the scoreboard put up an extra ball on the count that had not been called at the plate, but the umpires decided to pick up what the scoreboard had illustrated, and so awarded Votto a walk on three balls. It seems to me that in this day and age, this shouldn't happen. This can't happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys know this. You guys know this from having played. This is my suspicion anyhow. I've been told that this is the case. I'm not sure myself. But don't the umpires, particularly a home plate umpire, don't they have, and I would even think on some of the, you know, lower levels, don't they have clickers that they
do
use?
Yeah. Yes. Even at the Little League level, they have a clicker to keep track of whatever the heck, what the count is. Like, how do you do this? You are a major league umpire. Now, I get it. You can always mess up. I realize this, but come on. It's counting. Like, it's not that hard.
Yeah, we're counting to four, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, we're counting to four. It's not like we're trying to find, you know, the circumference of something. I don't even know, but it's four. We're counting to four, people. One hand.
Oh, my. Here's the problem that I had with the way the story was written that I had. It didn't indicate whether, you know, the only thing I can assume is that both the Reds and the Nationals as a team didn't realize the mistake either. Because wouldn't say the Nationals manager had come out and said, whoa, wait a minute, hold on, back up, you know. And I don't know, is something like that reviewable? I mean,
you know,
I have no idea.
I'm not sure if it is, but I do know that the pitching coaches, they keep track of what the pitches were, like, and where they were located at and, you know, everything like that, so that they can later try to work on those things, you know, how many, so like all that thing. And you would think that he would have said, hey, That was only the third pitch, like, so I'm not sure how that got past an entire team, whether it was a player on the field saying, hey, whoa, wait, or one of the coaches or somebody. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, good point. I would assume that there are people in the dugouts that are tracking the pitches of the opposing pitcher as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a pitch count. They're doing a pitch count on those guys. So, you know, somehow or another, I'm shocked, got by everybody. That's what I can't get over. Anyhow, Nick, have you ever seen anything like this happen before? Do you remember anything like this happening even when you were playing, you know, down at lower levels?
I'm trying to think if I've seen anything at like a more professional level that's anything like this. The only thing I can think of is when players may forget. If you remember a while back, I think it was Milton Bradley. He caught the ball for the second out and flipped the ball into the stands, thinking it was the third out. And I think a run wound up scoring.
Yep.
But, you know, at least the other 47,000 people in the stadium knew that he was wrong. I can't think of anything. I mean, it's legitimately unbelievable that it didn't just get by the umpire and the scorekeeper and the pitching coach and the manager and the players, but 30,000 fans. Now, granted, the game's in Cincinnati, so nobody's going to say anything. But it's one of those stories that you'll tell people, and it's 100% true, but nobody will believe you unless they saw it. When I tell my kids in 30 years, what's his name, Joey Votto walked on three pitches and an entire stadium missed it, they'll go, nah, you're messing with us. It's unbelievable. It got by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you would think that even, I mean, like, obviously, as you point out, while it's at the Reds' home field, there's somebody who is still keeping an old-fashioned scorecard in the stands. Now, look, I know a lot of people aren't doing the old-fashioned scorecards anymore, but there's got to be somebody up there that is. And you would think, even if they were a Reds fan, they're going to go, whoa, wait. He just got to walk on three balls. Oh, wow. Well, listen, that's the beauty of the game. I mean, you know, consider for a moment, you know, you guys know my age, this is what I'm saying. You never know what you're going to see. It's possible you could see just about anything at any time. So
let me flip this around real quick. Going back to last week's discussion, Joey Votto takes the base after three balls. Is that cheating?
No.
I don't think it is. I mean, in a way, I mean, technically, I guess it could be cheating, but if everyone admit, like, that's not his fault that they missed that, that should have been on the umpire saying, hey, that wasn't a walk. Like, that's not, I mean, I don't know. I personally don't think it is, but.
That's a good question. It's a funny question.
That's a very good question.
No, it's a funny question because it does bring up a the double standard of morality and ethic. You know, it's the old concept of self-reporting. You know, self-reporting, which we see all the time in the NCAA. You know, hey, well, this school over here just self-reported that they broke they had violations or whatever. But I mean. In some respects, it's kind of like, I'll give you a perfect example of one that I've never forgotten in all of my playing career. And, of course, I played hockey. I remember I was never very good at defense. I was never a very good defenseman. I was a winger, and I was purely – my brain only worked in one direction, and that was in the offensive zone. I was horrible at dropping back and trying to play defense. But on this one particular occasion, I had to drop back. And as I'm dropping back, the fastest guy on the other team is breaking through the zone, and I am the only one there between him and a breakaway. And so he's getting by me, and I said, I got no choice. I've got no choice, and I purposefully put my stick around his ankle, and I pulled straight up as hard as I could. It was so obvious, it wasn't even funny. He goes flying through the air and down, and I stopped in my tracks, and I looked right at the referee waiting for the arm to go up in the whistle, and it never came, and I just took off. But it's the same thing, right? I mean, Joey Votto is going to get awarded first base. He's going to get awarded first base. He's not going to say anything. In my particular case, I actually stopped play. I just stopped. I said, okay, I'm waiting for the whistle. I'm waiting to, I'm going to get 2 minutes. And referee looked at me and never blew the whistle. So, but anyhow, how about this one though? Caleb, you're going to like this one. I think this was in last night's game.
It was.
Game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. They were playing out in San Francisco. And, well, let's see. How was this described? Pirates were clinging to a 4-3 lead in the eighth inning when San Francisco Giants cleanup hitter Buster Posey lifted a foul fly to deep right. As right fielder Gregory Polanco approached the fence parallel to the foul line, a fan wearing a Pirates hat and jersey with Barry Bonds' last name and old number 24 on the back reached out with his glove for the ball, which fell into the stands. The fan was subsequently ruled for interference, and because it took place in San Francisco, it was called an out, I believe, right? That was called an
yes.
out on San Francisco.
Yep.
So it was a Pirates fan that actually, in many respects, helped the. It was
helped
a Pirates fan that helped the Pirates win, and San Francisco got penalized for something a Pirates fan did, because it took place at Giants Stadium. So.
Yeah.
Just very, very funny sort of twist to the way that all went down as well. I don't know. Any thoughts on that one? Now, perhaps maybe, I don't know. Do you think that perhaps maybe they looked at it and they said, well, it's Barry Bonds. So, you know, maybe they looked at that and they said, well, he's half a Giants fan. Maybe that's
it. Well, I mean, if you watch what happened, though, Polanco had the ball. He was gonna make the catch. So that also was probably factored in because he was right there, right up on the fence, and he had the glove out. But the fan, he reached up above him, and he, like, hit the ball. And so Polanco had the ball. So that probably was some sort of a factor because it was pretty obvious that he was going to make that catch. So regardless, if they tried to interfere, it's an out. So
right.
It just is funny that it was a Pirates fan who in turn helped the Pirates get a victory. So that one fan can actually say, hey, I got the Pirates a victory from sitting on the field. Like that's,
yeah.
I mean, so
the
it's
Pirates
kind of a cool thing that. That's kind of a neat thing that he can say, but it is very, very funny.
Pirates should have given him a game ball or something.
Exactly,
but,
right?
There was another point I was going to make about it. I'm trying to think. Oh, I'm wondering, I mean, did the fan, we can only assume that the fan was able to get out of the stadium without any injury.
Yeah. Well, I believe that he was actually ejected from the game.
Really?
Because whenever those things happen, then that fan is automatically removed from the game. So I remember watching it, and I want to say that he was ejected, that he was that he was taken out of the game. So. I guess he kind of beat the rush there. So.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. It is confirmed in the one article that I'm looking at that the fan
is
was
it?
Ejected.
Okay.
Yep, he was ejected. Anyhow, I just thought that one was kind of amusing. And considering that you were going to be on the show here, Caleb, I thought that was most appropriate.
It was. It was.
I want to get into another story, though, that seems to be growing some legs here. Which, when it first broke, I guess it was, I actually started first hearing rumblings of this, I guess, about 10 days ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. I quickly dismissed, but now, as I point out, it seems to be growing some legs, and that is the possibility of Montreal getting baseball back again. Apparently, Rob Manfred, I think, is scheduled, or perhaps maybe the meeting has just recently taken place. Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, was meeting with the mayor of Montreal. Mayor of Montreal had indicated that he was certainly going to put a push on to the commissioner that Montreal deserves a baseball team back. I believe that the last time, I'm trying to think, the Expos left there in what year was it? Was it 2004? I want to say it was 2004.
That sounds right. I know there was an early 2000s, so that sounds about right. It was either 03 or 04. That sounds right.
So the and recently, though, after that initial, there was word initially that these two were going to be meeting. And I kind of read it, and I went, okay, all right. Well, it's the Montreal mayor is going to meet, and they'll talk about, hey, yeah, why can't we get baseball back here? But apparently more and more and more, all you just need to do is, Google Montreal Expos. That's all you got to do. Google Montreal Expos, and you will get one listing after another, after another, after another, after another of articles from all of the major medias all over the place talking about how the movement is growing for a baseball team back in Montreal. All right, I'm just going to start it right here. I'm going to leave it wide open, open-ended. What are your thoughts, either one of you, on Montreal getting a team? Nick.
I think the first part that I'm really dissecting, which team's moving, because I don't think it's a good idea to add another team, especially since we just went through all that trouble, moving the Astros to the AL to make it even in all divisions and on both sides. I wasn't a fan of that. I don't like the interleague play every day, but they went through all that trouble, so I can't see them adding a new team. But we're talking about moving teams. This article is talking that I'm reading is talking about maybe the Rays. It's been discussed for a long time, moving the Rays. I mean, it just doesn't work out where they're situated from a baseball perspective. As far as moving them to Montreal, I'm not entirely against it, but I'd have to imagine there's somewhere in the United States that would be just as excited for a baseball team. If I'm wrong, then Montreal is very much suitable. But I don't know. I mean, Canada has a team. Maybe you go. I mean, if you look at the geographic distribution of where the baseball teams are, there's a lot of open space where big cities are in baseball. I think there's other cities in America that might be just as excited, if not more excited, to take in a baseball team. I wouldn't be against Montreal getting a team. I don't understand the motive behind it. The motive behind why Montreal? Why not anywhere else?
Well, I could see exactly why, because they had a team and now they don't and they miss it. If I had the Pirates, if they were taken away, I would be ticked off. I would be mad. Now, they're probably never, ever going to actually ship them off somewhere else, but if that were to happen as a fan for my sake, I would want my team or any team, I would want them in my city so that I would have someone to cheer for. I mean, that's what I would want. So I could see exactly why they want a team once again, because they lost. I mean, that's kind of sucks that they had to lose a team. I mean, so while I don't think it's necessarily probable, it's probably not going to happen. Maybe the Rays, like it says here. I mean, I can't really think of a team that would really get up and kind of move other than them, because they just don't have that huge of a following and a fan base down there. But with that being said, I mean, I would want some team to really represent my city, and they don't have that. So I can see why they would want it back. But, Nick, you said it. I mean, and there are plenty of other U.S. cities that would be just as excited for a team. But I do think that Montreal is kind of on the top of the list because they had a team and then they lost a team. So it's kind of fair in a sense, almost, that they do get one team back there. But yeah, I mean, there are many, many cities in the Midwest area that there's really no baseball there. So I could see a team kind of shifting out that way more than I could up to Montreal there. But I do see why they would want someone there.
The you know, I'm thinking as we're talking here, you know, the cities that have lost excuse me, teams. And the one that comes to my mind almost immediately is Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. had a load of teams that were there sometimes only for a cup of coffee, and then they were gone before we got the Nationals. Of course, the Washington Senators were there for a long, long time, and I forget where you know who they became, what team they became later on. I actually think that Washington, D.C. had two flirtings with a team called the Washington Senators. So I think Washington, D.C. is technically has technically been home to like three, it might actually be now four, with the Nationals included, Major League Baseball teams. So that's a city that's been, kind of transient in keeping teams. I with due respect, I think the Nationals are probably there to stay now. But when we talk about American cities that potentially we could plant a team with, I suggest, how about Indianapolis? I think that might be
That's another
spot. Yeah, Indianapolis. Another one that comes to my mind, the NHL, which I think is absolutely ludicrous, but nonetheless, apparently there is movement for it, is playing around with the idea of putting a franchise in Las Vegas. To me, Las Vegas seems like a better baseball town than it would an NHL town.
Yeah, having hockey in the desert doesn't really sound like a good idea to me, but, you know, hey, whatever.
Well, and it hasn't worked very well with the Coyotes.
No, it has not.
You know, so I don't know why anybody thinks it's going to work super well with Las Vegas, which I mean, let's get it straight. Las Vegas, you know, I don't think too many people really call Las Vegas home.
No,
you know,
it's more
Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's
a vacation thing. You know, there's no, they may have a lot of revenue and all that stuff, but no one really lives there. It's a desert. Like, no one wants to live in the middle of a desert. Like, that doesn't sound fun to me. So
now, going back to the Montreal concept, where I got a problem with Montreal is in this. The reason Montreal left there was because, if I'm not mistaken, in the last number of years, their fan base wasn't supporting the team. If I'm not mistaken, their attendance dropped terribly, like in the last 3 years that team was up there. And while certainly, as you will find in any city, you will get a core fan base that is going to be upset. If we went and moved Tampa Bay, while we're talking about Tampa Bay not having the greatest fan base in the world, the fact of the matter is, if you move Tampa Bay, there's going to be people that are going to be screaming about the fact we just moved Tampa Bay. So you're always going to have a group of people that are going to come out that are going to be upset about, but does that little group represent something larger? Montreal was not able to support the Expos when they were there in their final days. I don't know if they really deserve it. You know, they can cite to me all the numbers that they want about how they had real good preseason attendance. Whoop-de-doo. Great. That might just be a manifestation of the fact that the city hasn't had Major League Baseball for over 10 years. I don't know. Any thoughts, any additional thoughts on it at this point?
Yeah, I mean, if that's why they left there, then they don't necessarily – then I don't think that's just that they should have a team then. I mean, I didn't really know that. I mean, I was young. You know, I was 8, 9 years old whenever they left. So I mean, I just think that now they realize that, oh, hey, we lost something and we really want it now. Like, we want to have it back. So I think it's one of those type of a deals that they didn't realize, oh, hey, this is really, really, really awesome, and now we really, really miss it. So, yeah, I think that another city should probably get it, one that's going to be more supportive. But, you know, we'll have to see how it all kind of shakes out, if there even is a move, which I doubt that there would be unless the right city, you know, gives the right amount of money and, you know, that whole thing all kind of works out. So,
well, let's play devil's advocate here for a moment, because I want to throw a concept at Nick here for a moment. Let's just say for a moment, we'll, for sake of argument, let's say Montreal is the city that gets a team. All right. As opposed to moving another team, a la a Tampa Bay, could Major League Baseball, or would it be a bad idea, could Major League Baseball go to a two-team expansion? And so we could then say we could reopen Montreal, and then, I don't know, just for sake of argument, we'll put a team in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take we'll put one team in the American League. Let's say the Expos, I believe, were in the National League before. So
they
we'll
were.
Put them back in the National League, and
mm-hmm.
we'll put an Indianapolis team in the American League. Good, bad,
yep.
Or, hey, just leave it the way it is. Nick, what do you think?
I think the fact that you need to take such drastic measures is to add another team just to justify the situation to put a city or to put a team in Montreal. Kind of it explains the situation itself. If you feel the need to add another team in an American city just because you're adding a team to a Canadian city, that to me kind of implies guilt almost. Like, hey, we're giving Canada something back, but don't worry, America, we're not forgetting about you. I think it's kind of pointless. I think the best way is to leave it right now. I think there's enough teams. I think adding another team doesn't bring any positive benefit to fandom or to the game at all, adding two especially. And then, again, we face a situation, well, now we've got five teams in one division, six in another, and then five in the third in both leagues. So which I don't think is the end of the world. But, again, they just went through all that trouble moving the Astros to the AL, so every division had five teams. We didn't have, like, 5-4-5, 5-6-5, or whatever it was. I think it's kind of – honestly, I think it's kind of pointless. If we're adding a team in Montreal, add a team in Montreal, and there will be, you know, I guess an uneven number of teams. I don't know, Mike. Has there previously, when there's been less than 30 teams, been ever finished a season with an uneven amount of teams? How has that gone?
I don't think there's ever been that's why I'm saying if let's just say for a moment that Montreal were to become a true expansion team, you couldn't do it with 31. You'd have to go with 32,
mm-hmm.
right? You'd have to
get
32.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to. I mean, that's the only way that would make sense, just to have it all completely even, just for the fairness sake, to give every single league a 16-team competition there. So,
and that's now, I think it still would create a bit of a scheduling issue, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, it would. And, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, they have to build an entire farm system. They have to get a single A, a double A, and a triple A, along with a major league city with all four teams trying to make, I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, it's a little bit easier in a sense to expand a football team, a basketball team, because you only have that major league roster or the professional cities roster to really focus on. And, you know, it's a lot harder for baseball, I would think, to expand, because you have to add four brand new levels to that one organization.
Mm-hmm. I think, though, hasn't there been cases where some minor league teams, even if for only a short period of time, have been shared. I'm almost positive that has happened. In other words, a team could be an affiliate to more than one Major League Baseball team.
So they would share a pool of players,
would,
or like half of these are your guys, and then ours, like that
exactly.
type of way?
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep.
I'm almost
positive that has happened.
I could see that. I could see that happening, especially for like a single-A ball club,
yes.
a double-A. You know, for the ones that, I mean, they obviously matter, but they don't really matter as much as a triple-A team would.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, I could see that happening until, you know, 5, 6, 7 years later on where, you know, they have enough prospects in there to have that entire city and defined a city to actually put them in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only challenge I would see. But yeah, I mean, that could work if that's a thing, if that was actually an option, which it sounds like that could actually really happen. So,
well, it's interesting. We're going to continue to follow it because, and I don't know, like I said, when I first heard the story, like I said, maybe about 10 days, maybe 2 weeks ago, I kind of quickly dismissed it and said, yeah, right. I don't know. I don't see Montreal. I don't see Montreal getting the team back. I really don't. But in the past couple of days, it seems to have gotten, excuse me, more and more traction. And we have seen now over in the NFL how quickly the Los Angeles traction got going. You know, 2 years ago, I don't think anybody was talking about a team in Los Angeles really all that seriously. If they were, it was being talked about in back rooms. It wasn't being talked about in the public. Now, the word is that it's almost assured that we're going to have a team probably in L.A. perhaps as early as next year. So that's how quickly these things can happen. The only team that I think I'm looking up and down both sides of the league, and it seems to me, I might be wrong. I don't have all the financials. But it really seems to me that the only team that has real viability in becoming a Montreal team in the existing structure would be Tampa Bay. That would be the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I think all the others are pretty much entrenched.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I don't see how you could just completely uproot a city's team to just ship them off somewhere else. I just don't see that happening anywhere else.
Although I think it would be supreme justice if Rob Manfred came down and said, Miami, we're shutting you down. Jeff, you got to move the team to Montreal.
I think
that would be supreme justice because it was Jeff Luria who was the owner of the Montreal Expos when they shut the Montreal Expos down. It was Jeff Luria that helped shut that team down. So I think it would be supreme justice to just go down, and what we do is we're going to close up shop on the Miami Marlins, and we're going to say, Jeff, you can continue to be the team, but you got to move it to Montreal. I think that would be ideal. Yes, I can be nasty when I want to be. All right, real quick, I do want to get into taking a look a little bit at the All-Star. Yeah, the All-Star ballots are out. Oh, man. Excuse me, I'm having a tough night here. But I wanted to get into this one real quick. And there's been some chat, particularly here in Philadelphia. Ryan Howard, after getting off to a little bit of a slow start in the month of April, has recently, come alive, hitting pretty well, actually. Right now, .244 average. He's got 10 home runs. He's got 25 RBIs. I'm not sure where that puts him on the leaders list in the NL. Perhaps maybe somebody can check that one real quick. .244 batting average, .494 slugging percentage. His on base percentage is still, but it's Ryan Howard. He never really did have with the exception, I guess, of a couple of really, really good seasons in there. like 2006, where I think he had an on-base percentage of over 400. His on-base percentage has never been terribly great because of all the strikeouts that he gets. But I saw one report, and I was a little bit taken back. This is the Philadelphia Phillies team right now, second worst in the major leagues. But Ryan Howard off to perhaps maybe his best season since 2011. Now, 2011, if I'm not mistaken, guys, that was the season that he actually, it was right on the last game of that he went down with the Achilles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it 2011? So,
yeah, it was.
So he hasn't been, you know, we all know from having watched him here in the Philadelphia region, Ryan Howard really hasn't been himself, really hasn't been himself since 2011. But, Nick, what do you make of Ryan Howard's numbers?
They look good, I think.
Can we move him? How about that one? Can we move him?
Actually, here, I've got some inside information for you. I wasn't prepared to break out, but since it'll fit, about an hour before the show, I was on the phone with an AL scout asking him what he thought of the value of a couple of Phillies players, and I brought up the topic of Ryan Howard. And he said Ryan Howard is very good trade bait. The problem is, obviously, the contract. But he thinks there is some AL team out there that will bite for him. Not really sure what you get in return. I mean, the man's 35 years old, and his contract's, you know, bigger than he is. But he's a left-handed power bat, whether he's off the bench, whether he's platooning, whether he's starting, a little of both. He did say that there is an AL team out there that does want Ryan Howard. So I think he is trade bait, and I think now's the time to do it. I think his value is at a peak. You know, like we were talking about, he's been plagued by injuries with the Achilles and the ankle, and, you know, losing weight, adding weight, whatever he's doing. He's kind of fallen off, and adding age on top of that, the fact that he's kind of having this resurgence. Granted, the numbers aren't superstar-like, but they're really, really good for what we'd expect of Ryan Howard. I mean, the man's batting .244, you said it. He's got 10 home runs. He's got 25 RBIs. He's looking pretty good. He's not looking 2006, 2007, 2005, but he's looking pretty good, and he's looking like a valuable bat off the bench. I think he is trade bait, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him go at the deadline. I wouldn't be surprised to see them move Utley to first, even if it's not at the deadline. I think maybe if he can get through waivers, it's possible. But if he is going to go, it's probably got to be soon. He's 35 years old. After the season, he's 36. Teams are going to start looking like he's aging. Maybe the season was just a fluke. So basically, to your point about the trade bait, I think he's a very good trade bait because I think he's a piece that won't be here by the time the Phillies get good again. He's a piece the Phillies don't necessarily need. The only problem is they don't have any power outside of Howard in any level of the organization, really. Maybe a little bit of Franco.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great idea to try to move him now. But again, going back to the AL team, you've got a limited audience because now you're only working with 15 teams. And on top of that, which ones need first basemen? Which ones need a DH? Which ones can afford the contract? So the problem with Howard, I think he's worthy of a trade. The problem is the landing spots for him are so limited that it may only be two or three teams that's even possible to get a trade through. And then you got to persuade them and see if they even have interest and things of the sort.
The scout that you were talking to, when he makes the statement that, and I want to make sure I'm reading your comment correctly, when you indicate that the scout said there is an AL team that's interested in Howard, is he indicating to you that there is one specific team, but he's just not telling you? Or is he saying generally, hey, Nick, listen, make no mistake, there's an AL team out there that wants this guy?
No, it's more the latter, unfortunately. I'd like it to be the first, because at least we know there's some team out there for sure. But the way he said it to me was more, I look at this player, and I see a valuable bat that there's no way of these 15 AL teams that at least not one of them has interest. He's basically what he was trying to tell me is have hope, because I'd be very shocked if no teams were interested. He didn't have specifically one team. He wasn't just telling me.
Now let's play chicken here for a moment. The Phils, the Phils owe Ryan Howard $25 million this year, $25 million next year, $23 million in 2017. You know, we're probably talking at this point right now, he's still owed, what can we say, probably on the high side of $60-some million at this point.
Mm-hmm.
As we get closer to the trade deadline, it would seem to me the Phils, while they're probably going to have to eat some of this contract, may not have to eat as much of it as we get closer to the trade deadline. Because now, if there's a team that really, really wants Ryan Howard in order to make that playoff push, they may be willing to pay a little bit more for him. So it would seem to me that it would be in the best interest of the Phils, and perhaps maybe Ryan Howard, to continue to play well, but to hold on to Howard until as close to the trade deadline as possible. Would that seem like a fair strategy?
Yeah, I think opposing teams would be more willing to bite as they get more desperate in terms of how much time they have left to make a move. I think now no team's going to say, here, take a prospect and we'll eat half the contract. But as you get closer and closer to the deadline and they say, okay, well, you know, now we really, really need him. We don't have much time left. Let's up the ante. The problem is the more of the contract the Phillies eat, the more they're going to ask for return in terms of prospects, the less of the contract the Phillies eat. So in other terms, the more the recipient pays, the less they'll have to give up. So in the grand scheme of things, it all comes down to the front office's preference as to, do we want to pay this guy a lot of money? Do we want to buy him in terms of cash, or do we want to buy him in terms of players?
And where does your gut fall down on that? Because I'll tell you where mine is. And maybe I'm just a nervous Nelly. Maybe I'm being a bit conservative in my finance here. I don't mind moving Ryan Howard to try to get out from underneath the contract. But what I don't want is I don't want to be paying $40 million for a guy that we don't have. That's what I don't want. I don't want to hear that Ryan Howard is going to, the Boston Red Sox. But in exchange for that, the Phils are going to pay $40 million. So I'm less interested, believe it or not, in what we might potentially buy getting out of it. Because I hear what you're saying. The more we eat, the more the other team might be willing to give up. But we don't know that the prospects that we would get back would be worth anything. I'd rather not buy an unknown prospect and be more inclined to just unload as much of this contract as I possibly can for as little as possible. That's my strategy.
I agree with you in that I don't want to be paying $40 million to a player that's not playing for us and for a couple unknown prospects. But at the same time, I don't want it to get to the point where we're virtually just cutting him from payroll and getting nothing in return. I think it's important that if we do get rid of him, we get something back that we can other than cash, that we can build on, even if it's just one or two mid-level prospects. At least there's some hope that one of them turns out to be a decent Major League Baseball player. But I agree with you in that it's more important. Getting rid of the contract is more important, and I think that's why we're getting rid of him, because he's not worth the contract. That's why he's such a hot topic in terms of, I think it's equally as important that if we do get rid of him, we at least get something in return and we're not just giving him away for free.
Caleb, jump in. Play fantasy baseball with us. Be your general manager. Be general manager. What's the best strategy?
You know, it's actually funny. I saw this and I was like, oh, I have my thoughts on this one. I wrote a little something on the Matt Adams injury last week. I believe it was actually over the weekend that it happened. He has a torn quad and is out for about 4 months. So it's likely that he's going to be out till about October. And even then, it's still pushing it for him to even be back. So more than likely, he's out for the season. My guess is that the number one prospect, the candidate for it, would be the St. Louis Cardinals for him. I think that if any city, that's the city, because they lost their top first baseman there. Howard's hitting phenomenal. And, you know, they're a team that they can definitely fork out the money for him if they need to. Now, it's more likely that he goes as a DH to the American League just for the simple fact that he is 35 years old. But mm-hmm. personally, my favorite – not – well, I shouldn't say favorite because, oh, the Cardinals, not a fan. But the most likely scenario would him – would have him landing in St. Louis. Now, whether that's going to actually happen or not, we're just going to have to wait and see. But I do think that the Cardinals are definitely going to be talking with the Phillies to work out some sort of a deal, you know, whether it be money, prospects. But for the Phillies, I would want a prospect in return. Just because for the simple fact that you have a hope that, hey, maybe he can do something. But then again, you know, are you just going to really cut the guy for, you know, $40 million?
Yeah.
So you kind of have to weigh your options in everything to see, hey, do I want a prospect who's iffy? Do I just want to hold on for Howard to get whatever he has left, or just completely write him off of the books, you know?
Now, let's just say for a moment, like, again, I'm playing devil's advocate here for a moment. Let's just say for a moment, and I'm not sure how this would work. Somebody perhaps maybe educate me here a bit. Let's just say for a minute that a St. Louis Cardinals would be interested in Ryan Howard. And I don't know, somehow or another, they talk the Phils into paying $40 million of the remainder of his contract. A contract which, by the way, as I pointed out, extends through the 2017 season. So there's the St. Louis Cardinals on the hook for, oh, what, about $20 million of that? Because I'm saying it would be on the high side of, say, 60. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Let's say that the Cardinals are on the hook for about $20 million of that. Now, the Cardinals bring him on. He's got a three-year contract. But they're only on the hook for $20 million. They get through the season. They go into the playoffs. I don't know. Maybe they even make a World Series appearance with Ryan Howard. Season comes to a conclusion, and they cut Ryan Howard. Now, he's got 2 years left on his contract, but they cut him. Because, look, their investment was only $20 million, and really all they wanted was a rent-a player for just this season.
Yeah.
Doable?
I think it is, especially for the Cardinals, because they have such a fan base that they want to win right now. And they've done it in the past where they've rented a player and they've traded for a bigger type of a contract and they've just gotten rid of the guy. But they also have held on to that contract. So, you know, maybe if Howard were to do well and help them into the postseason, you know, potentially a World Series appearance, you know, maybe the Cardinals could try to turn around and ship him off to an American League team for prospects. And they say,
yep.
hey, we can totally cover the – $20 million that we're on the hook for, you know, if they see that it could
yep.
potentially be worth a World Series chance, just to try to win another title there. So they all have to kind of weigh the options here and see
yep.
if they want to try to fork over an extra $20 to $30 million for the chance at a World Series, but. Are they already fine with what they have? Because they have the best record, and maybe they say, hey, we're fine. We don't actually need anyone because Reynolds, we actually like him there at first base. So we're just going to have to kind of see there.
Yeah, see, that was the only flaw that I saw with your concept of potentially Ryan Howard going to the Cardinals is the fact that he's got a 3-year contract. And it seems to me that if the Cardinals would want anything, if the Cardinals want anything at this point, they really, I don't think they want a 3-year guy. They probably would really only want a guy
next season.
Exactly. They only want a guy for like the rest of this season, potentially as they make a playoff run. That's why I'm saying now, you know, if in order for them to take him with that in their mind, they're going to have to get the Phils to eat as much of that salary as possible. Now, you make another good point at the end of the season. If the Phils are already on the hook for $40 million, well, then the Cardinals could dangle him to the Boston Red Sox for prospects, knowing that, in fact, the Phils are already paying so much of the salary anyhow. So, interesting. We're sitting here playing general manager here for a moment. We're going to lose Caleb, I guess, here in a couple of moments. So what I want to do here real quick, because you're going to jump out on us here, I guess, about quarter after or so. I don't know what time do we have here right now. It's about 8:07. So, what I want to do is I want to get into our weekly Frat House Sports' Cleanup Hitters Series Streak Challenge, little game that we've been playing here where every one of us picks one series. And basically what we do is we pick who we think might be the winner. We try to pick what looks like is going to be an upset. To give you a rundown on where the standings are at this point right now, Nick, you are 5-3 and leading the division, because that's what it looks like. It looks like we all have records. You know, and you're, like we have certain ones are 2 games behind, another, you know. Well, Caleb down there, Caleb's 3 games behind. Sean and I right now are 3-5, and Caleb is 2-6. But Caleb, you were the only one last week to get a win.
That's right. Was a win. I got the W.
That was a win. That's right. That's a win head to head against Nick's team there in the Mariners. So.
Yep. I took a chance on the Indians, and look, it paid off. So.
You were the only one. You were the only one to get a win. I took a chance on the Phils, and they they got swept. Are you kidding? They didn't win a single game. They got swept. All right. But anyhow, let's get the picks in before we lose you. Sean has indicated to me that he is going to pick, he's going to go with the Cincinnati Reds this weekend over the San Diego Padres. Now, let's go up to our league leader. Nick, go ahead. Where are you going?
I'm gonna
let me guess,
Caleb,
you're sticking with the Mariners. You're sticking with
the
Mariners.
I'm gonna switch it up in honor of Caleb's first victory in a long time. I'm gonna go with the Pirates over the Braves. Charlie Morton's been looking good. He'll be pitching in the first game. Jeff Flock, I think he's due to come out of a bit of a slump in the second game, and I think that sets them up to take the series. So I like the Pirates over the Braves.
Pirates over the Braves. All right, I will throw mine out there. I'm going to go with the Chicago. I'm going to go over to the American League. I don't do too many American League picks, but I'm going to go over to the Chicago White Sox over those Detroit Tigers. Caleb, I think I do know where you're going. You want to announce that one?
Yeah. Nick, I'm with you on that one. I'm taking the Bucks. So, you know, I'm not sure if we can, you know, do that, pick the same exact team. But that was my original pick for the Bucks there. But, sort of a homer call there because, you know, I'm going to be at the game on Friday night. So, hey, you know, I gotta hope for the win here. So, I'm taking the Pirates there as well.
Yeah, now I'm trying to think. Let's see. Yeah, unfortunately, you don't gain any ground on each other. See, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, think about it. So,
also can't lose ground.
Well, you don't lose any ground either, right? That's what I'm saying. It's a wash. However it goes, but anyhow, we'll see. Well, it's always fun. And folks, you can find our picks. They will be up there. They'll be up there just minutes after the show is over this evening. They will be up over on our Facebook page, Frat House Sports. Leave spaces in between and look for our little purple icon. Real quick, and then I'm going to let you move on there, Caleb. You just mentioned your article that you wrote, on the first baseman over at the Cardinals. That article appeared on, is it on your website?
Yes, it is.
And, you know, it occurred to me the other day, I need to give you guys more time to promote your websites. And Nick, I know you've got one too as well. Let our listeners know how they can find your website.
Yeah, Caleb on sports, .com. That's the website there. I try to write every single day there. Kind of gets tricky every now and then, but that's the best spot to find everything I write, whether it's on some other site or on my own. I try to post everything on there just to have it all in one central location.
Very good. Caleb on sports.com. You also have a Facebook page, I believe, by the same name. Is that right?
Yep. Same thing.
And a Twitter account.
Is the exact same
Caleb on sports at Twitter. Okay. All right. Caleb, I'm going to let you go. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Catch you soon. Nick, your website as well, too. Why don't you throw that out there?
All right, it's kind of a longer URL working on it, but it's called 30 Minutes of Madness Blog. The 30 is 30. It's not spelled out. .blogspot.com. Hopefully, we can either shorten that or send it back to our original domain. But that's what it's at right now. It's been kind of dry for a little bit, but it's starting to pick back up. It's got a Twitter at madness_blog, Facebook 30 Minutes of Madness Blog that you can go ahead and like. And then, of course, I'm on Twitter at nmandarano. Anything that I post personally, because the site has a collection of writers, but anything that I post personally, I'll also tweet out individually as well.
Very good. Very, very good.
Also,
all right, so,
Fred House Mike, I just want to let you know, I got the Phillies game on in the background. They put the shift on Utley. He poked one through the left side, and congratulations to him. He's finally reached the Mendoza line. His average gets up to 200.
Wow. Mm-mm-mm. You know, as we were just talking about Ryan Howard, and I know that there are a lot of people in Philadelphia that would really like to see Chase Utley having the kind of season that Ryan Howard is having, anyhow. It's funny because a lot of the sports talk folks around the Philadelphia region are constantly talking about the difference between the reception of Ryan Howard and Chase Utley. How Ryan Howard, the fans never think twice about giving Ryan Howard the business, but Chase Utley just seems to, you know, whatever he does, we give him a pass and say okay. So, let me get into a little bit of the All-Star. I just want to get your impression of this, Nick, in the few minutes that we have here. And folks, we're down to a two-man show here, so if anybody wants to jump in with us, please don't hesitate. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get us on the phone. 347-826-9964. We'd love to have somebody, excuse me, jump in and help us out, particularly since my voice has been going in and out tonight. Or you can catch us in the chat room. There have been a couple of comments in there this evening. Thank you. Or catch me up over on Twitter at Fred House Mike. All-Star balloting is ongoing at the moment. Nick, we got American League update as of yesterday. American League update on this, and let's see if I can read this with this small print. First base, Miguel Cabrera is leading that with 2.1 million votes. Eric Hosmer is right behind him, not too far. Royals first baseman, Eric Hosmer, just right behind him. Over at second base, Jose Altuve, Astros, leading with 2 million votes. The nearest to him is Omar Infante, Royals, 1.4 million. So that one's not as close as the first base situation. Third base, Mike Moustakas, Royals, 2.3 million votes. Closest on that one is Josh Danielson at 1.5, almost 1.5. Let's see, shortstop. I'm having trouble reading some of these, my glasses. Shortstop, Escobar with the Royals, $2.2 million. That's not even close. That one. That one's a runaway, it looks like. The DH, Nelson Cruz, Mariners, $2.1 million. Catchers, Perez, Royals, $2.6 million. That's a runaway over Stephen Voit. Outfielders, we'll just take a look at the top three here real quick. Outfielders, Kane over the Royals, Mike Trout for the Angels, Alex Gordon for the Royals. You have any thoughts on the balloting as it's going at this point? I guess it's, you know, there was a lot being made yesterday, and this is just the American League. We'll take a look at the National League in a second. There was a lot being made about the fact that, boy, oh, boy, it's all Royals, isn't it? Royals, 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 and all Royals. I guess that's basically the way it should be, right?
Not entirely, because I look at the outfield and I see a Royal sitting there in fifth in the voting, Alex Rios. Mike, dude's batting .281. He's played eight games. Alex Rios has played eight games this year, and he's fifth in the voting for outfield. There's $1.2 million, right? Jeez. I mean, he's very far behind Lorenzo Cain and Mike Trout. He's got some distance from Alex Gordon, but it almost seems like, again, players are getting voted in based on name or team, and people aren't really following these guys. I mean, we look at the top five outfielders in the American League in terms of votes, and it's Royals, Angels, Royals, Orioles, Royals. I have to imagine that a lot of these guys are looking at this ballot and going, Royals click, Royals click, Royals click, and they, I guarantee you, of the 1,249,073 people that have voted for Alex Rios, at least 200,000 of them, at the very least, don't know that Alex Rios has played only eight games. And on top of that, another 400,000 only voted him in because his name's Alex Rios or because he plays on the Royals. So I look at it, and I know fifth place doesn't really do you any good if today were the end of it, but it kind of bothers me that Alex Rios, eight games, and he's fifth in the voting, which kind of makes me question the validity of having fans vote. And I understand why they do it, to get fans involved, and it's fun, and I vote, and I would like to keep my vote. I'm not saying get rid of the fan voting just yet, but it's something to look out for. Otherwise, I look around the American League, like you said, Cabrera, I think that's an obvious choice. Altuve, Moustakas, Escobar, I think Nelson Cruz is an obvious choice. I think Kane, Trout, and Gordon. I think I voted for both Kane and Trout. I can't remember who my third was, but I don't believe it was Gordon. I think Sally Perez is a good vote. I think they pretty much got it right in terms so far in terms of the leaders. But I don't know. Does it bother you at all, or is it just kind of something that you just like let slide and don't even worry about because it's not first, second, or third place with the whole Rios issue?
Well, I'm looking. Well, okay, no, I'm looking at it, and I'm glad you picked up on it because I hadn't even picked up on Rios being in there because I just looked at the top three. But I'm looking down below Rios, and I'm saying, okay, you're absolutely right. There's a number of names below the list that probably should be, you know, a little bit higher up and Rios a little bit further down. But in looking at it, as you pointed out, it seems to me, and you kind of went in the direction that I was kind of hoping you were going to, and that is the concept of fan voting and the fact that fan voting really becomes nothing more than it's a popularity contest. Let's get it straight. Every single day over at on our Frat House Sports Facebook page, I put up a Today in Sports, and I always go to something that happened on this day somewhere, anywhere in the history of sports. And it could be anything going back to the 1880s all the way up until, you know, about 5-10 years ago. And I pick something out, something that is interesting, attractive, whatever. Well, just the other day, one of them was, and I'm trying to remember what year it was, but I want to say it was about 35. It might be 35 years ago. Might have been closer to 40 now that I'm thinking about it, was the notation, I believe it was just yesterday actually, the notation that Major League Baseball on this day in this year, was like I said, 35 or 40 years ago, gave the All-Star selection back to the fans. They gave it back to the fans. So at one point, fans didn't have anything to do with it. So it must have been fan-driven at one point, and then for a period of time it wasn't fan-driven, and now for the past 35 or 40 years, it is fan-driven. Well, I hear what you're saying, that, you know, obviously this is going to lead to this kind of lopsided representation, which I think a lot of times managers realize. So when they get in there and they've got the squad, they try to balance things out a little bit. But nonetheless, you get this kind of lopsided representation. You get lopsided representation for a couple of reasons. One, you know, the Royals were the defending World Series champions. Two, they're probably getting some of the best park attendance, you know, and where's a lot of the voting taking place? I guess they're still doing the little punch cards, right, at the ballpark. Do they still do that?
I thought they did, but I also thought the other day I saw an advertisement that said you have to vote exclusively online.
Oh, really? Because I'm going to double check that. Yeah, I remember back in the day, I mean, when I had a partial plan down to Vet Stadium for the Phils, excuse me, it would be this time of year that the ushers would come around and stand at the top of your row, and they would hand a stack of these ballots down, and then they would come back and collect them. You know, they would collect them all from everybody, you know, a couple of innings later. So that's why I was thinking, okay, well, you know, the Royals are probably getting pretty good attendance at their ballpark. And if they're really promoting this at the ballparks, well, you know, you got a captive audience there, and they're sitting there with their little punch cards, if that's how they're still doing the thing with the punch cards. But, good point. Good point. Let's take a look real quick at the National League ballot. And let's see if we see a similar lopsided sort of situation over there. First base, Adrian Gonzalez, Dodgers. Excuse me, 929,000 votes. These numbers are as of Wednesday of last week. I'm just looking, though. It doesn't look like, well, the numbers are way off as far as totals. I don't know if those, I don't know if that 4 days really makes that much of a difference or whether the National League just isn't getting the number of votes. But anyhow, Adrian Gonzalez, 929,000 votes. Number two on the list, Anthony Rizzo. For the Cubs. Second base, D. Gordon, Marlins, 934,000 votes. Second place, Colton Wong of the Cardinals. So what do we got? Cardinals, okay. Third base, Matt Carpenter of the Carpenters. Matt Carpenter of the Cardinals, 1.1 million votes. Second place is Chris Bryant of the Cubs. Again, not even close, 583,000. For him. Shortstops, Peralta, Cardinals, 595,000. Look at the way the number drops. 1.1 million for Carpenter at third base in the number one spot. Johnny Peralta, 595,000. Wow. I mean, it's like everybody skipped shortstop. Huh? Number two, Starlin Castro. Catchers, Yadi Molina. Cardinals, 859,000. Number two, Buster Posey. Top three in the outfielders, Bryce Harper, Matt Holliday, Giancarlo Stanton. It's a little more mixed up than the American League, yes?
Yes, but it's still not as drastic in the National League, but it's almost as if we're going to be watching a Royals-Cardinals game.
We've got
Colton Wong, he's sitting at second. Matt Carpenter's got the lead. Johnny Peralta's got the lead. Yadier Molina's got the lead. Matt Holliday's in second. And then we just got done talking about all the Royals. I mean, they had three of the top five outfielders. They had second at second base. Infante was second. Hosmer is second. Moustakas is holding on to first. Escobar's holding on to first. Morales has got second. Perez is holding on to first. So it's almost as if we're just pitting two teams against each other. There's not really much variance.
But again, I think we see this kind of thing happen in the voting, but you know as well as I do that when it comes down to game time, the managers do a pretty good job of going in there and balancing out the representation, despite the fact that that the fans may want it this way. The managers recognize the need to have as much representation as possible. You know, because what? You'll have We'll have all kinds of alternates that'll get in, and there'll be all kinds of other because how many will they vote in from each position? I forget.
I think
because you got your first team. Yeah, you got your first team All-Star, and how, like for instance, how many first basemen, how many second basemen will their representatives will there be? They'll go down, I think, as far as what, third?
To get voted in?
Yeah.
You might be right. I thought they just voted in. Whoever is first gets voted in, and the managers pick the backups. But I'll double check that for you real quick. The voting is exclusively online this year. It's the first year they're doing that.
Yep. Yep. And one of our guests in the chat room also mentioned that as well. So thank you. CBS Sports reporting exclusive online voting in the 86th All-Star balloting. So no more hanging chads for the balloting in the ballparks any longer. Kind of sad. No more. I think there's only one team that's playing Take Me Out to the Ballpark any longer, and now we don't even have our punch cards at the ballpark. What are they going to do to us next? There's Mike's rant for this evening. All right. Well, I'm going to hold off on some of our other conversations for next week's program because we have some good stuff here that I want to get into from Rob Manfred, who actually, and we're going to save this one for next week, but actually indicated, hey, how about this? We might actually see a little bit of baseball being played next season. Boy, is he starting to get like Roger Goodell now, isn't he? Huh? It hasn't taken him long to pick up on Roger Goodell. You know, we got baseball, we got football being played in London and Germany. But it's interesting because I got to be honest with you, I take a completely different position on the concept of Cuba as a site than I do for England for the NFL. So we'll save that one for next week. All right. I want to thank everybody who has tuned in to us this evening for our cleanup hitters program. I apologize. My voice has been going in and out. Hopefully we'll get back some good weather here in the frat house's neck of the woods, and I'll be able to get past this little burst of allergy flare-up that I'm having. But many thanks to everybody who's been listening in and have jumped in with us in our chat room and have participated there. Want to remind everybody, please, to be here on Thursday evening for our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show, coming to you right here live at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Don't have the full lineup just yet. I know we've got at least one guest who I think is going to be joining us from Comcast in South Jersey. So that should be a bit of an interesting conversation that we'll get into. But I'm sure that we'll have a couple other things coming up as well. Big story, of course, in FIFA today was the resignation of Sepp Blatter. So you can bet we'll be chatting about that one as well on Thursday night. And then Saturday afternoon, I'll be right back here with you on 2 o'clock p.m. for a relaxed Frat House Saturday. Nick, thanks for hanging in there with us and working through your technical problems there. So thank you. In the meantime, everybody, hey, get out to the ballpark. Go enjoy the game. Thanks for joining in with us tonight.